Welcome back to Money News. Well, the census last year in August was controversial, and no doubt. Now, there was a screw-up, and let's be honest about this. The website didn't work. We were here on air when it wasn't working. And the blow-up, of course, afterwards, and then the inquiry from the Prime Minister's office. And then ultimately, you saw IBM, which was the contractor for the IT for that project, paying up more than $30 million in compensation, which was just and right. Well, the first numbers today have come out earlier than normal from the census, which is partly because it was collected in that digital manner. And so as a result, they've been able to crunch the numbers more quickly. And what it shows is what the Australian Bureau of Statistics calls the typical Australian. The typical Australian is changing, no longer the so-called bronzed Aussie, like a lifesaver type person. The bronzed Aussie is gone, and in return, what you've got is a 38-year-old female born in Australia, of English ancestry, married, lives in a couple, family, with two children, has completed at least year 12, lives in a house with three bedrooms, and has two motor vehicles. There you go. Well, Bernard Salt is a partner at KPMG, one of the great demographic thinkers in this country. He's on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Bernard.
Hi, Ross.
All right, so tell me about this typical Australian. Do you believe that this is the typical Australian today?
Yes, there's no doubt about that the ABS have got this right. I have faith that the ABS has actually got the right responses. It may have taken a while for the responses to come in, but I think there was about a month during which you could actually respond. And certainly these figures today confirm what I would have expected these sorts of figures to show.
There are a few little things in here, Bernard, I thought were quite interesting. One is the typical migrant, because a lot of people, particularly in the big cities, would see more what we call migrant faces. So, say, for example, if you lived in Queensland, it's more likely there'd be more Kiwis there, because a typical migrant in Queensland comes from New Zealand. In Victoria, the typical migrant, according to the ABS and the census information, was born in India. In New South Wales, a person was born in China. So again, depending on where you are, your perception of who is living around you and how the demographics of our nation is changing may differ depending on where you live.
That is very much the case. And in fact, this is a point of difference with previous censuses. This is how Australia is changing. Whereas we were once dominated by migrants that always came from Britain, largely from the 10-pound POM movement back in the 1950s, more recently, and certainly over the last 10 years, there's been a surge in migration, and particularly a surge in migration from China and from India. And that's filtering through in these figures today. So we are no longer an Anglo nation. We are an Anglo-Mediterranean, Asian, Indian and Arabic fusion nation. That's what we are. We're a fusion culture, in fact.
Okay, tell me, do you believe that is a harmonious culture or mixture that you're talking about for Australia going forward?
Well, I certainly think that we have been remarkably successful. I often like to cite the example that we have accommodated more migrants, certainly in a city like Sydney, one of the world's greatest cosmopolitan cities, in fact, than anywhere else. 42% of the population from the last census was born overseas in Sydney, whereas in New York, that proportion is 29%. In Paris, it's 22%. We actually live, arguably, in the greatest cosmopolitan, multicultural communities on Earth. And generally, I think that we maintain a very strong sense of social cohesion.
Okay, so then we go to the other aspect of this, because some of the stresses inside our community, in particular, the ability to buy a property, is already apparent from what's coming out, because it indicates that the typical house in Australia now is owned with a mortgage, whereas if you go back 10 years ago, the previous census, at that time, it was not owned by a mortgage. It was actually owned outright, the typical home I'm talking about here. Now, it's not everywhere in Australia it's like that, but that is the typical Australian home. So again, there's extra debt inside households, and that would create extra pressure, financial pressure, inside those homes.
Yes, that is true. But in fact, when you think about that, homes that are owned outright means that that community is generally an older community. What has happened over the last decade with the surge in migration through the Big Australia policy is introduce a younger demographic into Australia, often Asian and Indian, into our capital cities. And of course, these people are at that time in life where they are buying properties. So in some respects, you could argue, well, this is really part of the youthification of Australia, that we're introducing more people into their 20s and 30s. That is having a positive effect on the Australian demography. We don't want a community that's dominated by old people. In fact, that has its quite separate issues, as Japan and Germany and France will attest to.
I tell you, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when the full census information comes out, which will be on June 27. So there'll be much more information, much more detail coming out. But tonight, I want to hear from people who might be that typical Australian, a female, age 38, English ancestry, two cars, two kids, a three-bedroom home, or a home at least anyway, with a mortgage in the suburbs of our major capital cities. Bernard Salt, always great to have you on the program, my friend. We might try and find that typical Australian somewhere around the place if we can.
Actually, love to do that with you, Ross.
Great stuff. Bernard Salt there.